Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. We're going to be talking development in Little Rock and elsewhere. We may, you know, no telling where we will go in the next 30 minutes or so, but we're going to start right next door to where we're taping this. We tape in the Democrat Gazette building at the corner of Capitol and Scott, and just up the street at the corner of Capitol and Main, we see the massive renovation of the Boyle Building going on, and two of the people who have been instrumental in that happening, Chris Moses and George Friedman from Moses Tucker, are with me today. Thank you for joining me today.
You are welcome. Thank you for having us, Max.
Really excited about this project. So why don't you, Boyle Building, such a historic structure, and yet it is set empty for many years, and I've written for many years, you know, we can never declare Main Street back when the two tallest buildings on Main Street, the Donaghy Building, which is still empty, and the Boyle Building, which was empty for many years, are empty. And I just see this as a catalyst for so much more happening downtown. So, Chris, I'll start with you. Give me the genesis on kind of how this project got on your radar to start with, and how it developed and came to the point of where we are now, which is opening time.
Yeah. It's actually a great time to be an Arkansas resident, and we are super excited about the full certificate of occupancy for the Boyle Building. So moving back to probably 2010, when I moved back here, Main Street had some struggles, and still to this day, it does as well. But the bullseye of Main Street has always been Capitol and Main.
Mm-hmm.
And the Boyle Building sitting there.
Arguably the most important intersection in the state, right in the middle of the state capital, the state's largest city. Yeah.
Great point. And having that beautiful building sit empty for 20-plus years is really a sin. And so when George, myself, and Jimmy Moses, and others started toying around with that particular building, the biggest, I think, strength was not only location, but just the beautiful design. It's an old George Mann-developed 1909 building. But people like Tim Griffin and folks that see vision and really understand economic base and what downtowns really need, which in our opinion are the heartbeat of any, not only city, but for Arkansas, the state, it is literally the bullseye. So as we toured the building, the Chief family owned it. It was in horrible, horrible condition. I think George can attest.
I can look out the building out of the windows of my office, as I've told you here.
Yeah.
And it was so distressing for me. I came back here to the Democrat Gazette in 2017. So I've been back here now for 8 years. And for the past 8 years, I'd look out that window, and windows were left open in the Boyle Building. So you're getting water in there, animals, birds. It was pretty distressing to look out the window and watch that on a daily basis.
It was really depressing is, I think, even a better word for it. So fast forward, as we studied that building, we looked at mixed use, we looked at apartments, we looked at true commercial. But at the end of the day, we knew we needed to do something. And so we just continued to noodle on a mixed use development, and Tim's vision for what he wanted to do with the Attorney General's office just really made it all happen. And so not only does vision and folks like Tim really, really have to be involved in these things, but the Arkansas Historic Tax Credit Program, led by folks like Jonathan Dismang and Game Holmstrom and others, this project would never have happened without those credits. And so it's a great testament to that leadership and those individuals that really helped push that through.
They're always, George, I want to bring you in. They're always on any project of this size, especially with a more than 100-year-old structure, going to be a lot of surprises. What were some of the surprises and some of the challenges you really had to overcome to get to this point? I know there are a lot of them, but
absolutely. And you hit on it earlier, Rex, is, you know, as soon as we started studying the building, we noticed it was exposed to the elements, right? So rain, animals were in the building, vagrants. So, you know, that was challenge number one. And number two was we started, you know, looking at the engineering and architectural plans for the building. Code was probably number two, I would say, Chris.
Yeah.
So, you know, fire escape, sprinkling the building, you know, we're on less than a quarter of an acre. So, you know, there are challenges with that as well. You know,
environmental, I think, you know, when Rex, when these buildings are sent, are left dormant for so long, it's not just the blight that you're looking at from the street level, but it's the environmental issues that occur. And as George alluded to, they just continue to deteriorate over time. And so those floor plates, environmental, the structural integrity of the building, fortunately, was somewhat okay. We did do a lot of structural rehab on it. But at the end of the day, it was about five, I don't know, it was close to being at probably its deathbed. So we're excited that we were able to play a role in redeveloping that building. We're super excited about what we think it's going to do to Main Street and downtown Little Rock in general. We've acquired other buildings on Main Street, and going back to 2011 when we did Man on Main.
Yep.
Brett Tucker, Jimmy Moses, Tommy Lasseter, and the Doyle Rogers family and myself worked on that block radius, the 300 block.
And I've got to tell you, as we talked about this when you were kind enough a few weeks ago to give me the walking tour through the Boyle building, but as somebody who works downtown and right around the corner, I mean, you talk about a resurrection of a block and what a project like that can do. There are seven restaurants now operating on that one block in downtown Little Rock.
That's it. Yeah. And I think that's what downtowns need. If the epicenter is suffering, then where do you think the rest of the area is going to be doing? And so rehabbing that block and concentrating on that 300 block, I think allowed a lot of development and stabilization to occur. Folks like the Lasseters, the Doyle Rogers, the Tuckers, and my father, Jimmy Moses, saw that as an opportunity to not just redevelop, but to reinvigorate downtown Little Rock.
Yeah.
And so what you see now is more development. You've got the Clinton Foundation making a big, big stab over in East Village. We've got continuation on the Main Street corridor. North Little Rock's riverfront, we've got a number of projects over there that we've either completed or working on. And so we're excited. We're very excited about the health of downtown Little Rock, but we need a ton more.
Yeah. Yep. There are a lot going on, and we'll talk about that later, but we do need more. I have always believed, and not just because I work on the Avenue, because of what it is that Capitol Avenue from Interstate 30 to the steps of the state capitol should be the state's grand avenue.
Absolutely.
I mean, it leads to the state capitol, and it's been a pretty sorry sight for a number of years now, but we are seeing things. I mean, right before the pandemic, timing could not have been worse, but we saw the AC Hotel open, which is upscale, very nice. Thank goodness they hung in there through the pandemic.
Absolutely.
So we got that. We've got relatively new owners now of both what once was the Worthen Building, now the Bank of America, and now 200 West. The Regions Building. So I feel like we're starting to see a little momentum along Capitol Avenue.
I agree. The streetscape at the city level has got to be reinvigorated. The lighting, the landscaping, the trees, everything really needs to become an area where not only walkability is there, but it's safe, it's secure, it's visually appealing. And so we have a little ways to go, but I think the city does have a plan for it, and we're excited to help execute on that.
Yeah, still a lot of opportunity, though, as you look west down that street, George, with a lot of A lot of sad, closer you get to the Capitol, a lot of sad empty surface parking lots and empty retail, empty restaurant spaces the closer to the Capitol you get.
Yeah, you're spot on, Rex. And I would echo Chris with that. And then even as you move east on Capitol Avenue, it's exciting to see CAW sticking around doing a multi-million dollar renovation on their facility there. So we're optimistic and we remain bullish on downtown Little Rock.
Yeah, I have done one column, and as I was telling you, I've got some more on the way because you're right. As you move east along there, thank goodness that Central Arkansas Water is keeping all of those jobs downtown. They're going to do a multi-million dollar renovation. There's a potential. There's a big planning grant that came through, a potential for the transit center there to have actually a high-rise structure over it. And even old famous Christ Episcopal Church right across the street from us is doing a renovation also. So actually a lot starting to happen along Capitol Avenue all of a sudden.
It is, absolutely. And that needs to continue to happen. It also, we also needed to link these neighborhoods. You have River Market south on Main. You have East Village. You have the true CBD. So linking these areas with real walkability that's super safe, public transportation, food, beverage, and then a 24/7 lifestyle through mixed use is what the mission of our company, and for, I don't want to speak for George, but my mission in general.
Yeah.
And so how do we do that, I think, is the biggest question going forward.
And speaking of the company, I was just going to go there, guys. You do work on a regional basis now, growth markets in Texas, elsewhere. And I always love the story because I love to see Arkansas-based companies grow. But I think it would be safe to say, would it not, that the heart and soul of Moses Tucker is downtown Little Rock.
It definitely is. And I think it always will be. We'll always have our headquarters here. I'm an actual resident of downtown. I live right on 3rd Street. And my passion in life is development in general, but it's more so development for our capital city and specifically in our downtown area.
Yeah.
So as much as we've grown in other markets and other regions, we're actually doing more development on a volume base in Little Rock than we ever have.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah.
And so folks like George Friedman and Grayson Skokas and others have really taken the baton and run with. And we're all doing a lot more in our CBD, and we want to continue to do so.
All right, let's stick there right now, George. Where do you see downtown Little Rock going in the next 5 to 10 years? Where would you like to see it go in the next 5 to 10 years?
Sure. Yeah. Well, as I said, I think we've remained bullish on it. As Tim would say, as goes our city, as goes our state.
Absolutely.
I'm a believer in that. But hey, can we get everyone to buy in? I think we're trending in that direction. But you know, hey, it takes a lot of buy-in. It takes, you know, significant investment and resources from, you know, the city, the state, the county. So I think we're trending in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, you know, I am, and I agree with Attorney General Griffin, you know, as goes the capital city, so goes the state. I do, as you know, a statewide column. I was in Blytheville last week. I was in Fort Smith last week. All of Arkansas is my beat. Love the continued growth and the continued amenities that are being added in Northwest Arkansas. But one region alone can't carry a whole state. And I do agree, Chris, that a state is only as strong as its largest city and its capital city. Yep. And Little Rock happens to be both.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also would add to that, I think the political nature of Arkansas through public-private partnerships is something we're lacking. I think the state historic tax credit program was a massive, massive catalyst in really pushing that envelope. It pushed us to a point where what we really did was a public-private partnership with the Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
Although we're the current owner of it, there is a plan for the state to own that building. And I think there needs to be a lot more of that because these projects would never happen without folks like Tim Griffin, without the folks like Governor Sanders, Mayor Scott really, really pushing the public-private partnership envelope. And I think you can take that even a step further, introducing tax increment financing, special improvement district, CPACE. There's a ton of federal and state-oriented dollars that true partnerships with private and public sector can really take advantage of and do incredible redevelopment, which at the end of the day helps all of us because it increases our tax base.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. And it helps the whole state when the downtown of its capital city is doing well. And again, we talk about it on this show, and I love what's happening in some other places in the state, but it's so important that the heart is strong for the rest of the body to be strong. So let's mention, you touched on a couple of the projects that are coming that, in addition to the Boyle Building, I think could be catalysts for much more. I have to start. Of course, we're a year or so into the new Arkansas Museum of Fine Arts, though. But thank goodness for the leadership of Warren and Harriet Stevens, who Absolutely. I think in essence probably said, you know, we love Crystal Bridges, but there's room for two world-class art museums in Arkansas.
Agreed.
And really took the ball, ended up far surpassing their initial fundraising total, going over $160 million. What an amenity that has been. And now, and you touched on this, we see the fundraising beginning for the expansion of the Clinton Center. And, you know, as heartbreaking to fans of Hillary Rodham Clinton as her loss in the presidential election was in 2016, it ended up kind of being a blessing for Little Rock, because had she been president, I think her presidential library likely would have gone to the Chicago area. Now you've got what can't be argued, I don't care where you are politically, one of the most famous women in American history. And so she's going to have her own wing with a number of other elements that they do to update that. And I'm hearing numbers up to like we're not talking a small project, up to like a $200 million project. That's going to be a big deal for downtown Little Rock,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, what the Clinton Library did for downtown Little Rock was anchor it, mm-hmm. institutional investment, obviously, with Bill Clinton.
And I think the Arts Museum is now a big anchor with what we've got.
Absolutely, yeah. It's huge. It's beautiful, incredible artwork. The Stevens family just absolutely killed it, not only with their fundraising, but just their vision to actually do it and then execute. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of talk of Northwest Arkansas, Bentonville. Well, Little Rock's got something very, very significant going on as well. And it's folks like the Stevens family that have doubled down on their investment into the not only the arts, but the culture and entertainment of our city. So it's incredible what they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got that going on, which is going to serve as a catalyst for that side of the interstate. You've got the Wingate Art Space campus now coming out of the ground. Construction is moving quickly. I drove by the other day, which is going to bring all kinds of artists. So, it's not just this side where we're taping the interstate, George. Like going on what's called East Village over there also.
Definitely, yeah. And thanks to, you know, Chris and Jimmy for being visionaries over there along with their partners. I'm grateful to be exposed to what they've done over there. But again, in East Village, we're optimistic that growth is going to continue. Hey, we need more housing. We need, you know, significant investment, and a good starting place is the Clinton expansion, right? Mm-hmm. There's not a better starting point for others to kind of come in and to infill behind what's going to happen there. So we're excited and can't wait to see how everything shakes out.
Moses Tucker has really been a catalyst for bringing more residents back downtown through the decades. I look at the buildings that you've built through the years, Chris, the buildings that you renovated, and we keep being told as the master plan was rolled out that there's a demand for more housing. So where do you kind of see, I'm not asking for specific projects that you're not ready to announce yet, but in general, where do you see new residents living as we try to, you know, live up to the goals of that master plan, which is tripling or even quadrupling the population of downtown in years ahead?
I think the easy button and where the canvas is wider is East Village. An area we have invested heavily in and continue to support, the Clinton Foundation, Heifer Project being there and staying there, hopefully. But we also need more education. I think cities, in my opinion, thrive when those educational institutions are not only there, but they grow and they collaborate with their neighbors. And so for us, East Village is probably pretty high up on our list. CBD in general is as well. What you have to combat right now is high land prices, high interest rates, higher than average construction cost. And so those formulas, there is a solution, but it is very, very expensive and costly and usually cost prohibitive without the city's help or some type of state mechanism. But for us, it's I would say East Village and the CBD. We'll continue to do more in the River Market area as well.
Great to hear. Yep. My youngest son is 28 years old, is getting married in August. He's an attorney. He's going to stay in Little Rock, which makes his mother and me both very happy. And but he decided that he wanted to build a small house for them to get started when they got married. And he bought a lot and is building that house in the Petaway neighborhood. And I thought that was just very cool.
It is.
Because he made that decision without any input from me. But 20-somethings considering that kind of a hot place to build a new house all of a sudden.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the infrastructure is starting to get there throughout downtown.
Mm-hmm.
The easy services like grocery, food, beverage, entertainment, libraries, coffee shops, all that is now happening. And they're happening at a rapid clip in some of these neighborhoods. And so Petaway is beautiful. It's incredibly done. And I commend your son, actually, for making that his home.
Absolutely. And he is looking forward to it. He's down there checking on the construction on almost a daily basis. And I've got to tell you, you're talking about, and I know it's this is not your project, but another project that's going on downtown. One of the things that motivates him, he is on a short street that dead ends right next to the old Veterans Administration Hospital. And the fact that's being redone into apartments, one of the things that caused him to buy the lot, that there's suddenly going to be a lot of activity there.
That's it. Yeah. Activity leads to activity. It truly does. And we love that project, by the way. And we commend those developers for taking on such a great undertaking. But it truly does. Activity leads to activity. And when you see somebody doubling down with that type of investment, folks like your son and others end up gravitating to those neighborhoods, and that's what we need.
Yeah.
We need a lot of that.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to Boyle. So we talked about the 300 block, 7 restaurants now operating there. That block thriving. As we move up this way, I can look out my window, and I've been able to watch for about a year now construction fencing not only on one corner but on the other with the technology park expansion. That's very exciting to see. And so we see what's happening in Soma. So I can see, and you come back to Donaghy again, but I can see potential to really connect all the exciting things going on in Soma all the way back up to Boyle. And now then you've got things running all the way from the convention center way down Main Street then with activity and walkable.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
But there's a stretch there that you just wouldn't consider really walkable or place you want to be at night still.
Yeah. And I think it'll take the Donaghy building being redeveloped to really be the glue between South Main or Main and northern boundaries of Main. But you see the activity already happening. The barrier of 630 being right there is something we can overcome, but we need to do that with density.
Yeah. Another thing that we've got to mention, and there's a lot of planning being done, George, but it is the fact of the green space, the park space that was opened up by the 30 Crossing project. That's been another great gift, if you will, that came out of that project for downtown Little Rock.
Absolutely. And talk about a clean canvas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you know, city, state, and county leaders come together and do it right. Think it through, you know, consult with developers and residents of downtown. And it seems like they're on the right path. Hopefully they're able to follow through with it and, you know, be able to source the financing to make something truly impactful occur there.
Yeah, I went down there one day. I was telling you, in the winter before the chiggers came out, and walked around in that grass down there. And Chris, I think I was telling you when we took the tour of the Boyle Building, but it really struck me, it's really got, with the buildings y'all have built, the others around it, really got a really nice urban feel to it,
it
opened up.
It truly does. And that just having some form of walkability is always the key. But the investment in the bricks and mortar has got to continue to happen. And then the transition from one neighborhood to the other and making it not only aesthetically pleasing but super safe, I think is the next piece to it. The master plan, we've got a great one now, and I think the execution is going to be the next
piece. I was going to say that old saying, I had Gabe in here to do a show just recently, but that old saying about the proverbial study that sits on a shelf and gathers dust, and we've all seen a lot of those through the years. I mean, you guys do a lot of planning work, and we've seen a lot of those studies that do nothing but gather dust. What's the key to actually making things happen, to make that master plan work and not just be the study that gathers dust?
I think that's the billion-dollar question of all. It takes full collaboration. It's not just a private sector deal. It's not just a city of Little Rock or whatever municipality, but it is a total aligned approach. And it's CVB, it's every entity working in tandem to create that palette, because a private sector developer could maybe take a little piece of it, but without that full execution and some financing available through the city, some incentives, I think is probably what it's warranted in order to really push it.
Yeah. George, do you feel like all the various groups now, whether it's everything from the city government to county government to Convention and Visitors Bureau to private developers, do you feel a sense that people are starting to pull in the same direction
when it comes to downtown? It does feel that way, Rex. Yeah, and, you know, it starts with the master plan. Let's not let that sit around and collect dust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put a team together and execute. It seems like we're on a good path to, you know, make that happen. It's going to take patience. It's going to take time. But that's part of it. That's part of development. That's part of construction. But I would say we are on the right path.
All right. So we'll finish up. I know as we tape this, you're not ready to make an announcement, but we'll finish up where we started, which was with the Boyle Building as a catalyst. You are going to have a restaurant on the first floor there. And again, as I was telling you when we took the tour, as somebody who works here at Capital Scott and often works late into the night, that brings the activity on up into this block, on up into this area, and just people make a place safer and makes it safer, more inviting neighborhood for everybody, even after dark.
That's right. That's right. Particularly after dark. I think there's an old saying, eyes on the street create safety. And so the more we backfill with food, beverage, education, commercial, and all other types of uses, the safer it becomes, because those eyes are truly on the street. How that relates to the Boyle Building and the restaurant is we're close to announcing it. We're not quite there, but it is going to be a real treat for downtown Little Rock and really for Central Arkansas as a whole. Fine dining, coffee shop, and some entertainment there as well.
So. I did a couple of columns recently on the Arkansas Repertory Theater, and And I have to give them credit because they've been a real anchor of this part of Main Street when others other things weren't happening. They stayed there. They expanded. I must tell you, for people who put shows on at night, when I told them there's going to be a restaurant, they're serving dinner. They were very excited, too.
I bet.
More life and an easy place for their patrons to have dinner before and after shows. Yeah. They were excited. Lots going on. I'm really excited. Before I let you go, we have focused on Little Rock, but let's do a company ad here. Talk about, I mentioned you were in multiple markets now, some of the other markets where you're really active right
now. So we are close to announcing Northwest Arkansas, actually Fayetteville. We've got about a 450-unit multifamily style neighborhood with cottages, entertainment.
Right.
Not quite ready to announce. We have acquired the land and we're close to having drawings. Working in the Dallas-Fort Worth market as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a number of acquisitions in 2024, and I guess we've done one or two in 2025. But we work within about a 6 to 8 hour radius of Little Rock. And Little Rock's always the sweet spot, but extending out has always been a mission of ours. And so we love these other communities and very bullish on those as well.
Yeah. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, I tried to take this statewide perspective on things. And I really feel that people have finally kind of awakened and that Northwest versus Central rivalry is dying down a little bit, which is great.
Companies
like yours are active in both Central Arkansas and Northwest, and what's good for Northwest Arkansas is good for Central Arkansas and vice versa. Don't you agree? Well, there are only 3 million of us in Arkansas to start with.
Yeah, we're a tiny state, and having any division between communities is pointless. And so shouldering up with the folks up in Northwest Arkansas, learning from them, them learning for us, and collaborating in bigger ways is really what we're interested in doing.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time. George, Chris, thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rex.
Really appreciate it and just love the work you've done next door on the Bull Building. Yeah,
thank you for that. We love the work you're doing, too.
All right. Yeah, thank absolutely. You very much. Yep. Chris Moses, George Friedman from Moses Tucker, as we talk about the impending opening of the iconic Bull Building at Capitol and Main in downtown Little Rock. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.